Thank you, John. I have the privilege of getting to introduce my friend Pastor Ali because my husband told John this has always been my dream. And that is true. This has always been my dream to introduce people I love and respect to people I love and respect. So it is my joy to do this today. When I went to Niger for the first time 3 years ago, I left my heart there. They've been taking really good care of it. And the reason I've been back there 8 times is because of the relationship and the deep respect and affection I have for these two people. So it's my joy, honor, privilege to introduce Pastor Ali to you today. I'll tell you a little something about him. He is he's Jerma, in case you wanted to know. He is a father to 3 lovely young ladies. He is the patriarch of a large extended family. He is the first and current director of the program Youth for Christ Niger. He is also the pastor of Yantala Church, just outside of Niamey. He is the president of the Assemblies of God churches in all of Niger. He is also a good, honorable, humble, and decent man who I have the privilege of calling friend. So please welcome Pastor Ali.
Thank you. Good morning, all of you. I'm very happy this morning to be there to worship God with you. Before I start, I want to excuse my English because it's very little. But I will try to do my best to communicate you today what God put in my heart. So I thank God for the big privilege He gave me to be there, and I want to tell you I'm very impressed by everything I see this morning. Good dresses, like African, the coral, the good things, the things for Africa. So it's like I'm in my country is Africa. So I'm very, very, very impressed, and God bless you. I want to say thank to the Pastor John with his wife to give me this opportunity to share the word of God with you this morning. And I want to thank God for his staff and all of you to be there this morning and to give me this opportunity. When Marcia, some months ago, came Niger and gave me the official invitation of the Grace Chapel Church, I showed this letter, this invitation letter to my to the committee of my local church, meaning Yantala Church, and they give me something for the Grace Chapel Church. So it is my big pleasure to give this placket in the name of Yantala Church to the Grace Chapel Church. Before giving this placket to the Pastor John, I want just to read you to you what is writing. The local church of Yantala expresses its profound gratitude to the Grace Chapel Church for its partnership. 2 Corinthians 13:13. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
This morning, we will read in the books of Lucas. Chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. So I will ask David Lanoha to read it in English.
This is Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Hadisa is going to sing these verses for you.
Laissez venir à moi les petits enfants. Ne les empêchez pas, je veux les bénir. Car mon royaume est pour ceux qui ressemblent à ces petits enfants que vous méprisez. Ces petits enfants, et si vous ne recevez pas le royaume de Dieu comme un petit enfant, vous n'y entrerez pas. Et si vous ne recevez pas le royaume de Dieu comme un petit enfant, vous n'y entrerez pas. Vous n'y entrerez pas. Thank you. Thank you.
This morning, the topic of the devotion is Jesus loves the children, or the little the babies, like we read in the Bible. Really, this it is a great topic in the Bible, because if we read carefully the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we can realize that love, God have a great heart for the children. God love really the children. One big man of the last century said that what you want your country become tomorrow, start to teach it now to the children. Meaning, if tomorrow you want your nation become a communist nation, you need to start to teach the communism for the children now. But so they will grow up with this ideology, and in a few time, when they will be big, they will adopt this ideology and the nation will become communist. And also, if you want your nation become a Muslim nation, you must start to teach Islam for the children, and when they grow up, they will be Muslim. So, you agree with me? This is a too bad example. So I want to, because I think no one here don't want his country become communist or Islamic country. But I want to give now a positive example. If you want your country, your nation become a Christian nation, so you have to start now to children to teach gospel, to preach Jesus for the children. Now, when they grow up, they will keep the gospel, the Jesus in their heart, and they will be Christian. Bible said in the Proverb, the books of Proverb 22 and verse 6, teach the children the way or the way he must follow, and when he will grow up, he will keep it. He will follow this way. He can abandon this way. So this meaning is very, very important to take care with the children and to focus on the children and to share them the gospel and to teach them Jesus. It is very important for us specifically because my country is 95% Muslim. More than 19.5% are Muslim in the Niger. So you see it is a big fight, because if you want the Niger people to become a Christian, you need really to start by the children. We understand that in Niger. That is why we focus our ministry in the children, because we know that in a few years, in a few time, the children will grow up, and because they know Jesus, because they accept, they confess Jesus, so they are Christian now, and when they grow up, they will be Christian, and we hope that in a few time, our nation will be really a nation Christian. That is why in my country, we have the... We plan to build a school, and this school is built now, and I thank God because one family member of your church helped us to build this wonderful school. The name of the school is Peniel, meaning the face of God. And also, Marcia tell me that most of you, the members of this family, support Peniel. So give me the opportunity to tell you to thank God for you, and to say that we are very happy for that, and God bless you. But I want to let you know that it is a great work of God, because every day, Monday to Friday, 5 days by week, the children start the class by the gospel. They sing, Christian sings, and the teacher, who is Christian, talk them about Jesus and pray for them, and themselves they pray also Jesus, and we believe that Jesus is now in the heart of most of them, and we know that they grow up with the gospel in their life, and we are sure that most of them are grow up as Christian, and in a few time our vision to win Jesus with Christ, to Christ, to win Niger for Christ will be a reality. Also, in the church, we realize that it is necessary to focus the work on the children. That is why, two times by week, every Wednesday afternoon and every Saturday morning, we gather together. We call the children of our district, the children who are not the children of their father are not Christian, so they don't hear about Jesus, but we call them and we bring them and our church, and we learn them some things, Christian things, and we preach them Jesus. And I can tell you, really, Jesus bless this work, because most of them accept Jesus, and their life is changing. So it's a very good and very important to take care with children and to minister with the children. So you hear what you read in the Luke chapter 18. The Bible says that people bringing the babies to Jesus because they want Jesus to touch them. So that meaning many things. Perhaps they are sick, and they bringing their child to Jesus because they want Jesus to touch them, to heal them. Because we know in the Bible, sometimes when people are sick, they come to Jesus, and Jesus touch them and heal them. We have one example in the books of Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 41. One leprosy man came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "If you want me to be healed, you can do it." Jesus said, "If you want me to be healing, it is possible." Jesus said, "Yes, I want." He touched him, and he said that, "I want you to be healed." And the Bible says, immediately, instantly, suddenly, this man be cured, meaning he gets his healing because Jesus touched them. So really, it is one of our experience in our country, because we have not many hospital and many clinics. So sometimes when people are sick, the only way is to come to the Jesus to ask him his help to heal them. And in the our school and also in the church, we pray for children. Not only for children, for people, those who are sick, and we see the power of God because Jesus touched children, he touched the adult people, and he healed them when they are sick. The second aspect of this word, if Jesus touched you, perhaps they bringing their children, they want Jesus touch them, meaning they want Jesus bless their babies, their children. And that is another scriptural truth, because our God is a blessing God, and God wants to also bless the small people, the children, the babies, because he loved them and he want to bless them. So the problem the third meaning of touch them, it is the best or the most important. They bringing their child, they want Jesus touch them, meaning they want Jesus touch their hearts, meaning they want Jesus save their children, their babies. And this is a reality of the Bible teaching, because our God, when he touch you in your heart, meaning he save you. All of us, Jesus touch us. He touch our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we know him now. He save us now. We are the children of God. Why? Because Jesus touch us by the Holy Spirit. And it's not us only as adults. Even babies, even children, Jesus want to touch them, meaning to save them. We have some example in the examples in the Bible. The first example we can give is the Samuel example. You know the story of Samuel. The name of his mother is Anna. Anna, she haven't baby in the past, but she came and asked God to bless her and to give her a baby. And yes, God give her a baby, a boy who is calling Samuel. And when Samuel is grow up small, is a small boy, Anna, his mother, bring Samuel to the temple with the priest Eli. And in the temple, Bible say that Lord talk to the Samuel as a young boy, as a little boy, but he hear the voice of God, meaning he start to have a relationship with God, and God use him powerfully to bless his nation, the Israel. So we are sure that Samuel, it is one of example of a small boy, of a child who is touched by the God. Another example is one girl. The Bible didn't give us her name, but she is from Israel. When the Israel people, the Syrian people, did a war against the Israel people, we think that at this time the Syrians won the war, and they bring some people like a slave to serve the Syrian. And they bring with us a small girl, and this small girl was gave to the general Naaman's wife. And this small girl saw that the general Naaman have leprosy, and because she knows the God of Israel, because she have the experience of the powerful of this God, she gave testimony for the Naaman's wife, and probably to Naaman himself, and say that if Naaman wants to the Israel, he will meet a mighty God there, and God will healing him with his leprosy. And that is what happened. When the general went to meet the prophet Elisha, he asked him to wash himself seven times in the Jordan, and when he obeyed, he was healing by the power of God. That meaning, this small girl knows God, was touched by God, and she can now give the testimony about the power of God. But one of the best examples we can give in the New Testament is the example of John Baptist. Because the Bible says that when John Baptist is inside of the, I don't know exactly the term, the stomach of his mother, God touched him because he was fulfilled by the Spirit of God when he was inside in the stomach of his mother. Meaning God can touch even baby who is inside of the stomach of her mother. If God can touch this baby, how about babies who was born? Meaning all the babies, Jesus can touch them really. Jesus can touch their heart, and Jesus can save them. And we have many experience of this reality in our country and our school Peniel. We know many young boys and girls who really experiment Jesus, really were touched by Jesus, and we know that Jesus saved them. But the problem is the attitude of the disciple of Jesus. Because when people bringing the babies to Jesus, because they expect that Jesus touch them, the Bible says that the disciple opposite, hinder the people, refuse. They are like an obstacle. They don't want babies come to Jesus. This is not a good attitude. And this means two things. First, they don't consider children. Because Jesus talked to the adult people, and when they saw people bringing the babies, they said that no. So, in their mind, Jesus is only for the adults. He have not the time for the babies. He have not the time for the children. He is the God of adult people. So that is the attitude of many disciples of Jesus now. I don't know here in America, but in my country, Niger, sometimes when we have evangelistic meeting, when we see in the crowd, many children and not many adults. Some evangelists are not happy. They say that, oh, the meeting is not very good because many children, but not many adult, big person. They forget that Jesus can touch the children, and he can touch the heart of the children. He can save the children, and he can use these children to do many big things. So it is a reality. Those don't consider children. Specifically with the relationship with Jesus. I can tell you one story about one man who traveled with his wife and two children. And when he came in one house, one man asked him, how many are you in your travel? He said that we are two, me and my wife, and the place, two children. He said that, no, don't tell me you are two. Tell me you are four, because the children also are person. So you have to tell me you are four, not you are two, plus two children. So really, those people don't give to children the place, the good place, which God give them. So we have to consider children, because Jesus loved them. Jesus want to save them. The second aspect of the attitude of the disciple, it is they have not the vision of the lost souls, the lost souls. Because if They don't give the opportunity for these babies to be touched by Jesus. They don't give them the opportunity to be saved by Jesus. And that is the attitude of many people. Many Christians are happy when they are with the Christian. They song with Christian, they fellowship with Christian. But when they are with no Christian, they don't take time to talk them about Jesus. Meaning they have not the vision of the lost souls. So it's not the vision of Jesus, because Jesus have the vision of the lost souls. Because in the books of Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible says that when Jesus saw the people, they looked at sheep which are not, which are like without shepherd. They are not shepherd. So when he looked people, he looks people like the lost people, and he know that they need to hear about the love of God. They need to hear about Jesus. So when we meet someone, perhaps it is our friend, our parents, or our co-workers, if he don't know Jesus, he is a lost soul, and we need to have the vision for him to win him for Jesus, to talk him about Jesus, because we know that Jesus wants to save everyone, the adult people and the small people. And Jesus said that for the disciple, let the small boys, the small children come to me. Don't refuse them to come to me. I'm sure that Jesus wants to say to the disciple, help the babies to come to me. Don't oppose it. Don't be an obstacle for the salvation, because I want to save them, really. And that is the attitude of many people. They are like obstacle. They are like opposite of the salvation of children, exactly like the attitude of this disciple, because the disciple opposite. They hinder the people. They don't want baby come to Jesus. They are an obstacle. So it's not good to be an obstacle for the children. But we must help them to come to Jesus. We must help them to know Jesus and to accept Jesus in their life. So people can say that I'm not opposite, but we can talk about many kinds of opposite. When we encourage children to go in the bad ways, in the way of the way of this world, you know, this world is smoking, is do the bad thing. So those adults see children do that, and he didn't say anything, or he said that okay, she's free to do what he wants. When he will be adult, he can to choose. It is like we encourage them to be so far to Jesus, but it is like an obstacle. Or if you don't bring them at church to hear gospel, or if you don't take time at home to talk them about Jesus, it's like we are the obstacle for their salvation. And many people, I don't know exactly here, but I know my country well. Many people are like the obstacle of the salvation of the people. But here, Jesus encouraged his disciples to encourage children to be with him. Because he said that, don't oppose it, but encourage them to come to know me. So it is the same message for all of us. We have to encourage babies, to encourage children to come to Jesus. We need to help them to know Jesus by showing them gospel, by encouraging them to go to camp, children, church, to encourage them to watch the Christian movies on the television or on the DVD. That is the good things to encourage children to come to Jesus and to know him. But the last word of Jesus is very important and very deep. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like those who look as children. I think it's not meaning physically we need to be children to before go in the heaven. No, because when Jesus talk, he talk spiritually, not physically. I know sometimes people don't understand him well. Even we have the example of Nicodemus when he came with to Jesus one night. Jesus tell him that if someone is not born again, he can enter in the kingdom of God. He's very confused, Nicodemus. He said to Jesus, how man can born again? He need to enter in the inside in the, his mother to born again. Jesus said, no. He need to change your life to born by the Spirit to have another mind, another life. And here is the same thing. When Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like those who look as children, is not meaning we need to be a small boy or a small girl if we want to enter God. It's not possible because we are adults. But I think Jesus wants to tell them we need to have the same attitudes like children. And really, children have many, many good attitudes which we need to have as adult people. This morning we can talk about three attitudes of children which we need to have if we want to enter in the kingdom of God. The first attitude of children, the first characteristic of children is the faith. Children have a big faith. Everything you tell to your child or to the small boy or small girl, he will believe, no doubt. Even if you say to your child, hey, be ready, tomorrow morning we will travel on the sun, he will believe, and you will see, he will be ready, and he will say that tomorrow morning I will travel on the sun with my father or with my mother, no doubt, he believe. And the faith is very important. The faith is very essential in our relationship with God. Because if we have not faith, we cannot be agreeable before God. We need for faith to be agreeable for our God. We can't receive anything with God if we have not faith. Even the salvation, Bible says that it is by faith you are saved. It is not by your works, but is only by the faith. If we believe in the Jesus, we are saved. And if we confess him, we are saved. So it is by faith. Also, if we do a prayer with God, we pray God, it is necessary to have faith. If we need, we want Jesus, God answer our prayer, because Jesus said that everything you ask to God by prayer with the faith, we will receive it. So it is necessary to have a faith, and a real faith, and a good faith in our heart. What is the faith? The faith is to trust in God, to don't doubt any doubt to God, believe all his word. If we really have faith, everything God said that, we say that, I trust in God. I believe his word. No doubt. Everything God said, I know that is truth. I believe. That is the problem of adults. The adult is different to the children, because the adult sometimes many doubts. If we say that, hey, you say tomorrow I will give you something, he say that you sometimes adult will doubt. He say that he said that he will give me something tomorrow, but I'm not sure. I want to see before believe. So that is the problem of adults. That is why Jesus said that we need to be like children. Because children don't doubt. He believe really with all his heart. So it is the attitude we need to have before God. To believe in our God. To have the faith in the God. Don't doubt to our God, don't doubt his word, don't drop his love and really have a big trust in God. And sometimes people trust more than than her intelligence or her goods, more than they trust or they are confident in God. So that is not good. We need to trust deeply in our God. Don't meaning a good faith. So is very important. The second attitudes we can see with children is the humility. Children are very humble. Yes, because they know that they are children. They are not big man or big woman. They are very humble. If you say, "Hey, come on here," he will run and come. Do tell think he will do it easily. And they are very humble because they know they are children. They don't consider themselves they are something or someone. But you know, adult people, is very difficult. When people start to grow up, so he think that he's someone. And when we talk to him, he said that, hey, look at me. I'm not a children. I'm a big man now. I am big now. And sometimes the adult people are not humble like children. Our God like for all of us to be humble. Like Jesus, he gave us the best example, because the Bible said that he is God, but he is not considered his divinity like a right and to do a revendication to his Father. Even when he came like a man, and when he is in this earth, he serves people. He don't tell people, "You know who I am. I am the God who creates the universe. So you need to worship me. You need to fear me." No. He really have the humble attitude. He wash the feet of his disciple. And he live in this world like a servant. He serve the people. So that is a good example of humility. Because the Bible says that God resists to the proud man, and he bless, he give his mercy for the humble man, for the humble people. So really, the good attitude God want to us to have, it is the humility, like children. Children are really very, 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 very humble. So I can tell you that we see that in this country, many people have this attitude. They are not complicated, humble. That is good. And God wants us to be humble. In the books of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8, Bible says that we make you know, man, the good. The good things. So now, what God asks you, it is to love mercy, to practice justice, and to walk humbly before your God. So really, it's very good. Because Bible says that when someone want to elevate himself, he will be fell down by God. But when sometimes someone humble himself before God, God himself will elevate him. Exactly about Jesus. When he came like a man, he served like a man, and he died on the cross, the Bible said that God sovereignly elevate him and give him a great name. And his name is Jesus, every shelf. So the last things we can talk about the attitude of children is forgive. Children forgive easily. Now, if you beat your child, 2 minutes later, if you call him, "Hey, come," you will come with yours. He forgets of the beat. Even in my country, we say that if you saw, you see two children fighting. You parents, don't come and say that me, I will defend my children, and another parent will defend children, and fighting you, the adult. Because if children fighting now, 1 hour after when he go out home, he go out, he met his friend, you will see them play football together. They forget that they fight now. They fight, but they forget, they forgive themselves, and they are friends also now. But it's not the same thing with adults. The adult people, if you fight, it's finished. So when we meet him or met him in the ride, you will comport yourself that you have not seen him, and no relationship, no talk. Even when you tell something who is not good for someone who is adult, he will keep it in his life, in his heart. And if he have opportunity, he will say to you, "I remember last year, you tell me this word, so I'm not happy. I can't forget this." So it's not good, because our God forgive us our sins. We are the sinners in the past. We did many bad things. But when we came to the God and we ask Jesus God to forgive us, He forgive us. And now we are the people who have the forgive of the God, and we know that God forgive our sins, and we know that God accept us now like his children, and will be in heaven tomorrow. But we need to forgive those who did something bad against us. It is very, very important. Jesus said that even when we pray, say to the Father, "Forgive me my sin, like me I forgive all for those who offense me." That is very important as a man and woman of God to forgive people. You know, I read in the books the problem of the many diseases came. The cause of many diseases is because people don't forgive. Many people have in their hearts many bad things against perhaps husband, against wife, against friends, against perhaps the colleague of work. You have something in the heart against someone. So it's not good. This is not good physically, because many diseases, that is the cause of many diseases. And it's not good also spiritually, because if you are not forget, you have something against someone in your heart, your relationship with God cannot be good. That is why Jesus said that when you come in front of God, you want to pray, if you remember that you have something against someone, stop your prayer, go to this man or woman, tell him that, you know, I have something against you, but now I want to forgive you because I want to have the peace in my heart, the peace with my God, and I want to be in the peace with you. And when you forgiven, you can come and you can pray, and God can answer your prayer, and your relationship with God will be very good. So this meaning, even spiritually, if you want to have a good health and a good relationship with God, we need really to forgive people. And it is very, very good to forgive every time and for everything. Because one day, the disciple of Jesus asked him, "How many times I have to forgive someone?" Seven times? Jesus said that, no, more than seven times. Seven multiplied by 17 also. By day, you have to forgive for someone. So really, it is very, very important to forgive. Like children, forgive and forget easily what we do against them. You know, it is exactly God. Because the Bible says that God forgive our children, our sins, and he forgets our sin because he throw our sin in the sea, in the sea is very deep, and he's like in the form of the sea. So is meaning God forgive. So it's necessary for us to forgive. So the conclusion of this message, you can see this something. If you have perhaps in your heart something, it is necessary now to forgive, because if not forgive, it is not good with our relationship with God. So if I want to summarize the message, I can see this. God loves children, and he wants us to help them to know him. He wants us to help children to know Jesus. And the second aspect of this message, God wants us to be like children by our attitudes. Meaning, we have to be like children by faith. No doubt. Everything God tell us, we have to believe. We have to trust in God. We don't have to doubt and in any way our God, because no doubt for his love, no doubt for his word, no doubt for his for faithful, and believe in him and be a true truth with him, because he is really necessary to have a truth, to have a true faith. And secondly, God like us to be humble like children. And the third, God like us to forgive. So the last sentence, the last sentence of my conclusion is that let us love children and let us be like them, like children. God bless you, so we can pray, please.
We'll pray together in 1 minute. I ask the elders to come up. This morning, if you've been reading in your bulletin the last few weeks, this is the morning that we're going to dedicate ourselves to a part of the world we're calling the Forgotten Triangle, which, by the way, the Lord has not forgotten, and we at Grace Chapel will not forget. It includes the nations of Niger, Burkina Faso, and Benin. So we would like to ask you, before we pray here, we would like to ask you to, for us to read together in dedication to this part of the world, a commitment that we'll make together. And this is what's been in the bulletin the last few weeks. So I would ask you to join me now in prayer, or really prayerfully, as we read this out loud together as a declaration of our commitment to this part of the world. Whereas Father God has adopted us into his kingdom, the Lord Jesus has purchased us from every tribe and language and people and nation by his very precious blood shed on the cross. The people of my culture have access to the gospel, and there are still thousands of people in the world with no such access or gospel witness. Whereas Christ has commanded us and all Christ followers to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations, we, the people of Grace Chapel, hereby adopt Benin, Burkina Faso, and Niger, the Forgotten Triangle, and pledge ourselves from this day forward to pray regularly for the establishment of the church among them, and to continue to do so until our prayers are answered. In addition, we hereby proclaim ourselves willing to be led by God into further involvement in the task of reaching the people of the Forgotten Triangle, whether it be by giving our lives and going to work among them, giving financially to the work among them, or in any other way God may reveal to us. We pledge to diligently seek God's will for our lives in regard to those living within the Forgotten Triangle, and to solemnly undertake to fulfill all the responsibilities inherent in this act of adoption as they are revealed to us by God. We ask that we sign this document, which reads as we've just pledged together. The chairman of the elder board, Neil Holstein, and Pastor John. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, we are humbled by this opportunity to be a part of this great project. We thank you for the team here at Grace Chapel, for the passion they have, and we just pray that their enthusiasm can be contagious within all of us. Lord, we are indeed humbled to think about adopting these countries in a way we feel like it would be great to be adopted by them after a day like today of praising you in their tongue, in their language. We just are so honored. We pray for the people there, for the people that don't know you, that they are starved and hungry for your word. We just pray that this can be not a program, not a project of ours, but it would be all about you, that will bring honor and glory to you forever.
Father, thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you for the gift of your church and how you use each of us and each of our gifts and our abilities and our talents to do your work. And we pray, Lord, as we take on this commitment to the Forgotten Triangle, that, Lord, we know that it's not forgotten in your eyes, but that it's a place that you love people and you have a group of believers that are serving you. Lord, we ask that this commitment will allow us to learn from them and them to learn from us, and it'll be a partnership with people like Pastor Ali and others. And, Father, we just ask now that as the enemy takes notice, that you will thwart any of the enemy's plans to gain a foothold here or anywhere else, and that your work will and your word will go forward. Thank you, Lord. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.